Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, August 4th, 2019. Thank you for joining me today. And yes, you noticed I took someone's advice and decided to switch up the color of the coat. So thank you. It is summertime. Definitely need it. Thank you for joining me today. As you may have seen, there's some definitely big stuff going on. And if you may have noticed, I chose yesterday not to discuss the shooting that was going on. Now, there's only a few topics that I want to cover today. One being the tanker seized by Iran that many might have seen. And of course, as you know, again, you may have likely already seen in addition to that, if you have struggled through even 30 seconds of mainstream media today or yesterday, at basically any point over the last 36 hours, you would have been bombarded by looped coverage of the shootings, along with wild speculation and insinuations that it's all Trump's fault. But as hopefully you know, it is much bigger and much more complex than that. And they likely know this as well. So there was another shooting today, as again, most people have probably seen. One in Ohio. So one in Texas, one in Ohio. That's how it's being presented. We've had two shootings in the last 2 days. That's what I'm seeing all over the place. Except there were quite a few more than just two shootings that took place that just didn't make the cut. Failed to garner the same all-encompassing coverage, and we should be asking why that is. And if you cannot consider the very real possibility within shootings just like this, this is something that's possibly going to get people censored for even considering. But if you can't consider the very real possibility that these things were created, manufactured, or at the very least being used after the fact, then you're simply lying to yourself, because that has been verifiably proven to have happened in this country's history. As I continually point out so many times for a long time now, even the New York Times wrote an article discussing how the FBI creates and then stops about 95% of the terrorist events that they stopped. This was written a long time ago. Same thing we should be considering with shootings, that they could manufacture something and then use it for an agenda. Now, I'm just saying this is a hypothetical. We should be able to consider that as a possibility. And that's something we should recognize coming from the mainstream media, saying, if you think this bad idea, this dangerous fringe idea, then you're a bad guy and you should be held accountable for it. And this is what they're trying to say. That you can't even consider these things, even though they've happened before. Now, I don't actually have any insight on whether or not they're fake or real, and I'm not even really going to dive that far into the details of the shootings today. That's not what I'm going to focus on. If you're interested in that, I believe Nathan Lift the Veil is doing a great coverage of that over on DLive. He'll pick apart the whole story, because he won't do it on YouTube because they'll probably censor him for it. But I'm going to go into some other superfluous information around other things that happened and why you may not have seen them, as well as just some general ideas about what these things are and why they're happening. I mean, to consider things like MKUltra, for instance, that's a very real thing that most the actual evidence shows that it never really ended. So if we can consider the possibility that they were willing to basically alter people's brains to the degree to where they could be used as an assassin, that's what this was really about, as well as many other things. But if they were willing to do that then, and ultimately never allow the program to really end, could it be something we're looking at today? Could that be real? Of course it could. But we're not allowed to talk about the very real thing that is MKUltra today, because that's conspiracy theory. Or the idea that the FBI has been behind so many things that were completely their creation. Or even the weird idea that every single one of these things that they decide to cover, they all seem to have, you know, manifestos written very specifically into the narrative. Which is certainly possible. But these are things that we should always be asking. In addition to that, you can always expect the mainstream media, without fail, and the government, to completely ignore the obvious correlation between pharmaceutical drug use and the rise in shootings in this country. And I have included two links to articles that you should read if you want more information on that. The reality that right now, even under the age of 1 year old, there are over 1 million kids on psychiatric drugs. All kinds of them. And when you break it down to all ages, this was taken back in, I believe, 2016. We were looking at 36 million and above of Americans who are on some form of psychiatric drug. But the real alarming aspect is when you look at how much of that is actually under 18. And again, I'm not joking. The links are in the show notes. Under 1 year old, we have kids that are on ADHD medication, antipsychotic medication, under a year old. And this is 2016. That was over 1 million kids at that time. And just imagine what that might do to the brain. And you know why we don't know that answer? Because we haven't researched it. We don't know what it could do and what it might accomplish within the brains, developing brains of children. But who cares about that? We need profits for our companies, right? Profits, what matters today. Then you see Donald Trump and his discussion of Saudi Arabia and Yemen. It's who cares about life and morals? It's all about profit today. Now, the other link as well is about information about the connection to pharmaceuticals and shootings and how it's very clearly related. Almost every time without fail, you can see that within the shooter. But you could also make the argument that it's so prevalent today that it's just simply happening that way. Either way, there's a very clear correlation, but that's not always causation. Or even the clear correlation between the rise in shootings and the new style, as I've pointed out many times, of openly aggressive and openly illegal U.S. foreign policy and the militarization of the police. You can count on them ignoring all of that and placing this entirely on the things that they want you to pay attention to. You know, such as that Trump's attack on the media caused it, or Trump's racism caused it, or Trump caused it. We don't even need to dive further than that. Or the idea that conspiracy theory caused it. You have dangerous fringe ideas that the government has labeled as dangerous, then you probably caused something like this. And now we're getting to the idea where it might be, well, we have to actually stop these ideas so because they'll cause problems. And we're going to get into a story today that gets even further than that. The idea that the FBI is now discussing pre-crime ideas, which they have been for a long time, but in regard to social media, on the backs of these shootings, saying that, well, we're going to now, we need to be able to track social media so we can stop criminals before they break the law. This is what the FBI just said. And of course, we have to assume that will only apply to criminals because that's what they've always done, right? No history anywhere shows the FBI straying from that. Of course not. Now, I'm of the firm belief that they choose to highlight specific shootings for very specific reasons, whether they even know it or not as individuals within the news organization. As I said, there were more shootings that did not get discussed. Now, first, this article from Zero Hedge, which made the same point this morning that I was planning to make in general. And I saw this and was like, good, somebody else is noticing what I'm talking about. More mass shootings, 4 dead, 38 wounded in normal weekend in Chicago. Yeah, that's, you know, guess that's not news because, yeah, that happens every day in Chicago. But it's not just that. Amid the duo of terrible mass shootings, El Paso, Dayton, we thought it noteworthy that a normal, you know, generally based on, how, you know, if you want to call it normal, like this is what it is for them, normal weekend of death and mayhem in Chicago, barely even warranted a mention in mainstream media headlines. Now, according to the most up-to-date statistics, there has been 50 shootings so far in August. 50 shootings. And yeah, it's only the fourth of the month. 50. Four were shot and killed, 46 shot and wounded. Now, this weekend has seen four killed and 38 wounded. But as the chart that I'm going to show you here shows, this is actually better than normal for a Chicago weekend. Now, this is interesting because, and the links to the website and the data you can look into for yourself. But according to the graph, between the 26th and the 28th in Chicago, just those 2 days, 50 people were shot with almost 10 killed. And even just today, as they're still talking about the other ones, just today, 7 people were shot near a playground in Chicago. I mean, this stuff is constant, understand. This is what I'm trying to show you, that these happen. And yeah, it's just different degrees of magnitude always. And of course, that will play a factor. But as the author points out, what is odd, though, is the lack of Congress members praying for Chicago or unleashing hashtags demanding ever more gun control. And they said, isn't Chicago among the most gun-constrained cities in the country? Oh, of course it is. It adds that Illinois is one of 7 that requires licenses or permits to buy any firearm. And it's one of 5 that requires waiting periods to buy any firearm. The point being that they might not want to talk about it because it doesn't suit the narrative. They can't say, well, we need more gun control. It's got the best gun control in the country. Or, you know, one of is what their point the article is making. But that's maybe why they're not looking at it. I feel like it's maybe more than that. But this is what the point the author is making. He says the Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, which tracks gun laws nationwide, has given the state of Illinois a B+ for its gun laws. Chicago itself has some tough laws. There's an assault weapons ban in Cook County, for example. They're just trying to make the argument that there's a reason that they're not looking at these. But I don't think it's just because of the gun laws. I think that there's very specific factors that play into which ones they choose to look at. And again, as I said, here are some other shootings that took place just over the last few days, even during the same time these were taking place, that did not garner the same 24/7 coverage. Now, here is one from the 29th, I believe. Shooter kills four, actually, and then five, kills, takes his own life. Here's another one from the very next day. Man kills ex-girlfriend, mother, and brother before turning gun on himself. And no, these aren't as flashy, maybe, but we're still talking about four or five, six killed. Here's one. Shooter kills two, injures 11-year-old, then dies of self-inflicted gunshot wound. Of course, again, it never really suits the narrative for many different reasons, and that's why they choose not to cover it. I mean, this is the way I'm looking at it. But remember, most importantly, as I'm sure many are already thinking that just don't want to agree with what I'm saying, that with these promoted shootings, the mainstream media almost always breaks in with the story right after it takes place. We've all seen it. And almost always before the death toll is even known, right? We've all seen it take place. Well, we got the numbers wrong. We're waiting for the numbers to come in. We've seen this happen almost every single time, meaning they would not know that the death toll was as high as it ended up being. So why then did they choose to cover that one and not the others that just as easily could have developed into a far more serious death toll as they break in right after they're hearing that something's happening? And that also, in a way, it shows you that there's a, you know, that they break in and want to go to a story. They don't know what the death toll is. Why did they pick that one to break into? When, as I said, these other ones I just showed you, there was one the 29th, the 30th, and the 31st. I mean, it's all, they could have broken into any one of these stories, and they simply did not. Now, this is just my opinion. It could simply be that, yes, there was a higher death toll and that's why. But again, recognize that they went to the story before they knew how many people had died. So there's shootings constantly. And this is just what I briefly looked up before I went into the story. I could sit here all day and probably find shootings all over this country that took place even at the same time frame. But they somehow knew that these would end up being high death tolls, don't ask how, and chose these ones to dive into right off the bat. We just need to begin to recognize that there's a motivation to some degree to use these things at the very least, whether we're talking about gun control or whatever else. But these people are picking and choosing which ones to use, and we have to begin to recognize that. Now, another tweet I wanted to include that I put out because I saw something that Donald Trump said. Donald Trump condemns the shooting in El Paso by saying, quote, "There are no reasons or excuses that will ever justify killing innocent people." Which just shouldn't shock you. I mean, we hear Mohammed bin Salman from Saudi Arabia speak out about everyone has a right to life and people shouldn't, you know, I mean, literally while he's murdering children, he's speaking out about how we all have a right to life and people deserve to live. It's just, they just say these things because they know that that's what people want them to say. So they can go on pretending like these people are not murdering millions of people around the world. And of course, I continue on saying, while he continues killing innocent people, he says this. And of course, I link to my suppressed video about the U.S. coalition just a few days ago killing 14 innocent people in Yemen in a crowded marketplace. Those are innocent people, Donald Trump. And guess what? That was the U.S. coalition that killed them. But yes, let's just go ahead and say there's no excuse, and I agree, for ever killing innocent people. So what's your excuse? It just frustrates me that these things continue to happen and people just let these politicians speak out like they're so concerned. We get one from every single person in the limelight. All the people running for president, I condemn these in the strongest possible terms and I pray for the family. It's almost insulting that they say the same ridiculous nonsense when we know that they don't really care about it. You know why we know that? Because they're using it to progress political agendas. That takes a certain level of sociopathy to be able to use someone's death and suffering to apply it to your goals. Trust me, that takes a lot. I mean, it is a disgusting thing to see. And trust me, I say that because I have met people that I am pretty damn sure were on that level. Watch the way that they played their life and the way that their decision-making process. Now, one last thing I want to include on this before I move on to Iran that I thought was almost, I could not believe that this is where we are. And I'm not even, funny enough, I was just watching a video that Truth Dream Media posted right before I went live that just, I couldn't believe, that just showed these people in this same kind of mindset standing up and discussing, I'm not even going to get excited. You'll get the point. So this is from Associated Press. Justice Department weighing hate crime charges against Texas shooter suspect that would carry the death penalty. No. Not the murder. Not the murder of a bunch of people, right? Not that they killed innocent family members, sons, daughters, and children, and wives, and husbands. No. But that it was a possible hate crime. Oh, well, we found out that it might have been a hate crime. Well, now we're looking for the death penalty. I mean, and again, this isn't just, this is what it says in the actual article they're linking to. That was just the breaking news link. It says the Justice Department is seriously weighing federal hate crime charges against the El Paso shooting suspect that would carry the potential for a sentence of the death penalty. The hate crime. Not that he's murdering people, but that he did something hateful. How is this where we've gotten to in this country? I mean, this is, I sat back and was like, this can't be really what they're saying. And I scrolled through and they're talking about applying the hate crime charge because they want to seek the death penalty due to that being potential for a death penalty sentence. But we don't care that he murdered people. I mean, this is the sick nature of where we are, where we actually think that insulting somebody, hurting someone's feelings. I'm not talking about the shooting, understand. The hate crime is what they're discussing. Not that we could charge him for murder, right? But it's one and the same in what they're doing here. The hate crime is that he murdered people out of hate. But we don't need to make it a hate crime. Just charge him with first degree murder. And you're telling me that that's not capable of death penalty, but the hate crime charge is? I know you know what I'm saying out there. Scares me. It really scares me that we're getting to a place where misgendering someone or saying something that hurts someone's feelings could potentially hold a higher penalty than taking someone's life. It just shows you what a sick society we live in today. And it's not by choice. It's all of the stuff we already talked about. The pharmaceuticals, the militarized focus of this country. Going around and just marching through other countries and murdering anyone we see fit and violating the law whenever we want to because we're the good guy. You don't think that plays a factor on the minds of growing children? Or even the militarization of police or all of it? I just saw the other day a six-year-old kid was being charged for a crime for hitting another kid in the face with a dodgeball. You know, when I was a kid, that was, you went to timeout. But these days, kids are going to jail. Do you think there's a reason for that? It's probably because they want to get you under the impression that that's how the world works. It's very scary stuff. And speaking of scary, right on cue, almost as if this was, you know, planned. Here's from Zero Hedge. FBI wants tech to track social media for criminals and terrorists before they act. Before they break the law. How does that work out? See, that's in the system where you're guilty until proven innocent, you understand? The real system that we have, where they pretend that you're innocent until proven guilty. See, in this case, you're already guilty. They knew you were going to break the law, even though you didn't. We already knew, because you know why? We tracked your social media, we read your mind. And we knew you were going to do it. And now you're in jail for something you didn't even do. This is that serious. Like, I don't want people to downplay what they're doing, because we've seen this building. They've already brought stuff like this up before. They've already discussed ideas of pre-crime and even tried to introduce it into police stations. It's already happening. They even were using jokingly the word pre-crime from the movie, right? I mean, that's what's alarming. It's like we're literally living our lives right out of dystopian novels or movies for that matter. Now, the Federal Bureau of Investigation aims to acquire access to what's called the social media early alerting tool that will help insiders proactively and reactively monitor how terrorist groups, foreign intelligence services, criminal organizations, and of course, just broadly, other domestic threats, how they use the platform. Yeah, you might have heard that term before, huh? Other domestic threats. I'm glad they just kind of generally threw that very broad sensing term in there. Just, and of course, that's how they apply it, right? Clearly, we've already been labeled as conspiracy theorists, and by the FBI, now we're labeled as a domestic terror threat. And now here we are, the FBI saying, well, you're included in these groups where we're going to try to access your information and charge you before you do something. Yeah, that doesn't sound scary. And I'm sure that there's no fault that could happen there, no mistakes, no problems. How do you prove that you didn't do something that you literally didn't do? I'm sure we just have to trust that the government knew better, right? You see where it's going? Everything is trust that the government knows better. We knew he was going to commit a crime. Trust us. Where's the evidence? Well, he didn't do anything yet, but we knew it. We knew it. This is very alarming stuff. Now, proposals from interested vendors are due later this month. So it's in real world action already, understand. There are literally companies who are biting, chomping at the bit to give them proposals for this aggressively unconstitutional act. They said, quote, with increased use of social media platforms by subjects of current FBI investigations and individuals. So here's, I'm just going to stop myself right there. This is from the agency. It says, with increased use of social media platforms by subjects of current FBI investigations. So right there, you're going, okay, well, you know, they're going to do this, but only for people that are already, they're, you know, criminals, right? Which you should already assume because the FBI is investigating them that they're a criminal. There's plenty of criminals in the FBI, too. As we should all clearly see by now. But that's, you know, just because they're investigating, then we should know that. But then it also goes on to say, and individuals that pose a threat to the United States. Well, how do you define that? Oh, well, it doesn't go on to say. So I guess we just have to trust that they decide when and how you're a threat. People already think that we're threats because we're conspiracy theorists. So there you go. We're already good. They always include one of those wildly ambiguous phrases that they can then use as they see fit. The Patriot Act is riddled with them. And that's why we are where we are today, because they just apply it however they see fit. So if just broadly, individuals that pose a threat to the U.S., do you know how far that could stretch? That's anyone everywhere at all times. And then it goes on to say, it is critical to obtain a service which will allow the FBI to identify relevant information from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and other social media platforms in a timely fashion. It says, consequently, the FBI needs near real-time access to a full range of social media exchanges in order to obtain the most current information available in furtherance of its law enforcement and intelligence missions. So this is how they just did it with the same ridiculous 246 resolution where they say, we so swear that you have every right to boycott and do what you want. And then they go on to say, but you don't have the right to boycott this. Like, it's just directly contradictory. So they finish up by basically saying, but we need access to basically everything all the time to be able to enforce the law. I mean, that's pretty damn cut and dry. Now, as always, with all of this stuff, as always, these claims come with an air of altruism, right? They want, okay, because, you know, as if to even suggest that they might use this power to suppress ideas and content, of course, and go after anti-establishment voices of, conspiracy theorists, as they would call them, is, you know, unseemly and insulting. How dare you, suggest that we would break the law? Oh, I'm insulted by that. Didn't say, well, we don't do that. They get pushback as if it's insulting to suggest that members of Congress would lie, even though they've done it throughout history. The FBI is riddled with investigations and look at what's happened just since 2016. We can very clearly see that these intelligence communities, at least in some part, are aggressively rogue. And we're just supposed to assume that this is just this air of altruism, that they would not use this to go after, you know, the next presidential candidate or people that go against what they want to happen. And what is the most humorous here is that you have many in the mainstream media claiming the FBI is breaking the law all over the place. But when it comes to ideas like this, or questioning the intelligence community in regard to foreign policy, all of a sudden the media is aghast at the idea that any American would question their word. It's just, you know, again, directly contradicting what they just said. Same thing just happened with Trump, and that we just pointed out that Syrian girl made the same point. That they, you know, Trump said Ilhan Omar is supporting Al-Qaeda, but then Tulsi Gabbard comes out and says, here is everything you need to see that proves that this is what's happening. And they just, oh, Tulsi Gabbard's a Russian bot. They don't go after Trump like they've been doing forever when they have the ammo, when they have the real ammo. No, of course not. Shows you that there's a real agenda behind all of this that they don't want you to see. It says, quote, it is an acknowledged fact that virtually every incident and subject of FBI investigative interest has a presence online, they said. And they want real-time geolocation-based monitoring that can be refined as events develop. So they want real-time geolocation monitoring that they can then just alter and change and adapt as things go forward, because that doesn't scare me. But get what they're saying there. Because virtually every incident they deal with has a social media presence that now they need access to everyone's social media all the time. Now, is that because terrorists use social media? Or because Everybody's on social media. I mean, this is the most ridiculous correlation, causation. It's not the same thing, but they always do this. The same thing they do with cannabis. The vast majority of Americans use cannabis. So you could literally correlate that with almost anything. As I did, I said the other day, the example I used was if you took every woman that ever had twins and asked them, have you ever smoked pot in your life? You would probably get a very high percentage of women that had twins that also smoked pot. Could you then say, well, pot caused them to have twins? There you go. Game over. That's what they're doing here. There's a correlation. It's not causation. But this is one of the most ridiculous examples I've ever seen. We all know that social media is everywhere, even in third world countries. So we're talking about them saying, well, because terrorists use social media, and that shows you that's social media needs to be enforced. It's just another way for them to pretend and fearmonger their way into more control. It's so incredibly obvious. And when it comes to specific persons of interest and suspects already involved in open investigations, the Bureau wants the ability to obtain their full scope social media profiles from across the various platforms, which means, by the way, anything. So this basically gives them access to any social media platform now and that ever gets created, and insights into their affiliations with various groups across the World Wide Web. So, you know, you liked their tweet last year. Oh, now you're a suspect. Guess what? And it goes on to say, items of interest in this context are social networks, user IDs, emails, IP addresses, telephone numbers, along with likely additional account with similar IDs or aliases. Like, again, there's their broad, just kind of, they're sweeping into and then just anything else we want to just kind of slide in there at the end. Your IDs, your emails, your IP addresses, your telephone, this is all consuming. Because didn't you hear? Terrorists are doing bad things. People are getting radicalized. We need to save you from this stuff. The FBI. I sure feel safer now. Now, this is something I want people to put more thought into. The reality of what all, you know, what's driving this, what's behind it, the real causes, and then what they want you to think. And challenge that with the facts on either side. And then look at how the media uses it and what they're trying to progress. There's very clear motivations. Now, obviously, I didn't touch on all the reasons people are using this, but there's plenty of them. But at the end of the day, recognize that you are being selectively led down a very clear path so they can use your selective outrage, or rather their not selective outrage, so they can use your outrage that you likely feel seeing that these bad things are happening against you. So you're not thinking clearly. So you're emotionally outraged. So you make bad choices and you act emotionally. That's what they do. That's how they control you. That's why they use the two-party paradigm to get left versus right, strangling each other. So they're not really thinking logically and seeing that, you know what, they're the ones causing us to fight each other. That's how all this works. So please put some more thought into this and recognize that we shouldn't just go diving down all these things that they set in front of us. Now, in some foreign policy news that I'm sure many of you have already seen, Iran sees another tanker. But as always, there's more to this story than it would seem. And of course, there's more to this story than the mainstream media will ever let on. At the very least, they should include what Iran had to say. And some of them do. Reuters did. But many of them don't. Many of them just toe the U.S. line. And these are the usual suspects. The Fox, the CNN, the MSNBC. And this is what we always talk about. When we broadly say mainstream media, that usually applies by and large to the TV channels. You know, because you'll always get the print out there that still exists, you know, even though most of them also have online platforms. They can still put in some extremely distant printed article or even on the back end of their website that nobody will really see, but they can say, well, we put it up and we posted it. So we did talk about it, but we made sure that it got one view and no one ever saw it. Right. So that's my point, is the mainstream media, when we talk about the video, that most people watch the TV channels, and when they never inform you about something, most people don't know about it, even if they've got it on the bottom of their screen. Now, Iran claims that this tanker was smuggling fuel to some Arab countries, it said. Now, a commander with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Ramazan Zahari, told reporters today, that they had seized the ship near the Persian Gulf island of Farsi on Wednesday night, which is interesting. Wednesday, he said. After intelligence gathering. As far as I can tell, that's the only place saying Wednesday. Everyone else seems to kind of be generally reporting it as if it happened today, or not really mentioning it, just kind of saying that they took another tanker. But if this happened on Wednesday, It almost seems to make to stand to reason that it is a smuggler. Otherwise, somebody would have said something about this, right? I mean, that's just one thing to consider. But according to the Revolutionary Guard, the seized ship is an Iraqi tanker, which is what they're saying. But again, I'm not seeing any mainstream reports about what the nationality of the tanker is, but they're claiming it's an Iraqi tanker. But here's what I can find on the map, which I found interesting. You know, this is far from definitive, but especially because I'm just basically at this point guessing where I think what this ship is. But here is that's right. I forgot I moved it away. Anyway, so here's where we are. This is, obviously, you can see where we are. Saudi Arabia, Iran. Now, here is where, there we go. It's freezing up on me. So here is where the ship is supposedly held. Right on this little port here. Keep getting closer. Okay. Now, here is where this is supposedly held. It's this Bushehr area, the port, which is that little, this right here. Now, there's one, as you can see, unspecified ship, and there's one tanker, the Blue April, that's moored, as it says. Every other ship in this area is a fishing ship, a cargo vessel. Let me move this out of the way. See what I mean? So this is cargo, tug, there's fishing, there's no other tanker. But the problem is, the Blue April is, at least on here, on paper, is another Panama flag tanker, which is weird. It's like every one of these have been Panama, at least the other smuggler one was a Panama tanker, the Rhea. So I don't know if this is the correct one or not, but this seems to be the only one that I can find on the GPS that's an actual tanker, and that's what they claim it is. So maybe I'm missing something, or maybe the story's not adding up. Maybe Iran's lying. Maybe they moved it somewhere else. There's plenty of factors that we don't know in this, but I wanted to include that to you because I thought it was very interesting. That's the only one that I can see. And this is all in the show notes, and the marinetraffic.com is a good website to find this stuff out. And you don't even need to sign up for anything, as I don't sign up for, because look, if I signed up, I would apparently get more information on ships like this. It says full access, learn more, the unspecified ship, if that's even true. But it gives you information on all these ships, and it's important to know. But we'll keep track of this, and we'll, you know, find out if that's the ship or not. I'm probably sooner than we think, honestly. But it says, quote, the foreign vessel was receiving fuel from other ships and was transferred to the Arab countries of the Persian Gulf. And was transferring it, he said, to the Arab countries in the Persian Gulf. So smuggling their oil, stealing their cheap oil as it is now from Iran, and smuggling it over to other countries so they can make the profit. You know, other countries that are working with the United States. Does that mean the U.S. is involved? No, not by default. But I can almost promise you they most likely are to some degree, because everything, this is what Bolton and Pompeo would do. Illicitly try to do everything they could to hurt the Iranian people. Now, they said 700,000 liters of fuel have been seized and 7 sailors from different nationalities have been detained. Now, here's the video they released. And as far as I can tell, I haven't seen anybody else sharing this, even on mainstream media. But here's the video. And I have the sound turned down, so just play it in the background so you can see it. But this is them just kind of showing, again, proving, because there's always skepticism of it, you know, that they just made it all up, which is, we should be skeptical of stuff like that. But there's no reason to think that they would. But the video shows the process through which the Revolutionary Guard forces have halted and taken into custody the foreign tanker, the oil tanker, that they claimed was smuggling fuel. Now, on July 14th, you remember, the Revolutionary Guard seized the other Panamanian-flagged Rhea tanker for smuggling 1 million liters of Iranian fuel south of Larak Island in the Persian Gulf. Now, despite U.S. calls for action at the time and immediate dismissals of anything Iran had to say, as you know, as I reported, Panama shortly thereafter came out publicly and said their investigation also showed the tanker was in fact smuggling and had taken action to remove its credentials. And did we then immediately see all the so-called journalists and government officials and Twitter users who reflexively dismissed this claim all come out and apologize and admit they were wrong? Of course not, because that's what honest people do. But recognize that. The U.S. government didn't come out and say, oh, we got that one wrong. They just quietly put it aside, which should show you, in addition to a million other things, that they're being dishonest with you. Now, on the 19th, the Revolutionary Guard impounded the UK-flagged Stena Impero, which we also talked about. Now, the tanker, just making sure, I was making sure my mic was still on. Now, the tanker, they took this tanker as it passed through the Strait of Hormuz en route to Saudi Arabia, which is, you know, normal again, but just kind of thinking about interest, that occurred to me that possibly there may be more going on with this one as well as the other ones, but this is just, you know, the way my brain works. But it says, you know, for failing to respect international maritime rules, as we reported at the time. And this is according to Iranian officials. This is what they said. They said that the vessel had been involved in an accident with an Iranian fishing boat and had ignored the distress call, changing its route, as well as the fact they said that it had turned off its transponder and was even apparently leaking oil, all of which would give them a justification to stop this ship. Again, all of which was immediately dismissed by the U.S. government and the Western media without any investigation or due diligence, despite just having been proven wrong about the RIA. Right? I mean, that's what's so ridiculous to me is that they can literally be proven wrong with one of their claims. And then the next one comes out and they do the same thing. False certainty from top to bottom. Now, again, and what I just covered on the same idea, Bloomberg also just ran a story a few days ago where they admitted ships are turning off their transponders in the Strait. Of course, in this article, using it as a way to demonstrate, you know, what a threat Iran is, that they're forced to violate maritime law to go dark because they're in danger. Which could be true, but as usual, they failed to realize or just didn't care that this directly contradicts the U.S.'s claim that Iran was making it all up. That the reasons for taking the Steno Impero. That you know, of course they did not violate maritime law. They would not do that. Iran's lying, right? Every single time. But here we have them clearly showing that, yes, they are all doing that because Iran bad guy. So, which is true, right? I mean, it's just so funny to see them. They want to have it both ways. This is what happens when you have, when you're stacking lies upon lies and have so many moving parts, you have these contradictions and mistakes that, as we just talked about the other day, that give you a glimpse behind the curtain. But here's what Holly Dagres, so-called Iran expert at the, you know, Atlantic Council that we should all trust. This is what she had to say. And remember that no investigation has been conducted. This just happened about the tanker that we're talking about today. So neither Holly nor John Bolton truly know what happened yet, but they always pretend they do. Holly said about the tanker taken today, Iran believes the United States declared economic warfare when it announced as part of its maximum pressure policy to bring Iranian oil exports down to zero, she said. So she says, Iran believes, as if insinuating that it's not true, Iran believes that they declared economic warfare. And then goes on to say, because they declared economic warfare. Right? So they believe they connect the economic warfare when all they were doing was declaring maximum pressure to bring their oil exports down to zero. Well, stupid Iranians. I mean, it's like, that's a very obvious, they're attacking their economy. That's economic warfare. But she just, and of course, doesn't follow it up to say, but they're not. She wants you to fill in that sentence in your mind, right? But they must not be, because that's what she meant to say. They believe this is what's happening when they announce this. That's it. That's period. End of sentence. Clearly, they're right. They are attacking their economy. Then she goes on to say, Tehran threatened to retaliate by closing the Strait of Hormuz, though it didn't explain how, she said, which I find especially humorous, since the people like Bolton and Netanyahu have outright stated as fact that Iran said it would attack tankers and shut down. That's what they said more times than I can count. But the truth is, they did not say anything of the kind, but they didn't say anything but that they would shut down the strait if the U.S. took action against Iran, which you could argue they have, and I clearly think they have, or you could also argue they've kind of done it through other people, so maybe it's not enough. Either way, we could be looking at Iran's response to the U.S. not backing down. Certainly possible, but it's not what they tried to make it out to be. There's, you know, that they're just shutting down the strait. That's not happening at all, in fact. She then goes on to say, quote, what we are seeing in recent weeks is Iran beginning to make good on the threat by making shipping more precarious through the strait, she says. Oh, evidence, you ask? Of course not. Someone from the Atlantic Council passing off U.S. government talking points is fact? You don't say. That never happens. Could Iran be lying? Of course it could. Just as the U.S. could be lying. But so far, Iran has claimed that they have legal justification. And they've been shown to be correct, at least one case so far. in a similar case where the U.S. held the same stance they do right now. And Iran was vindicated then as well. And add to that this real-time image of the Strait of Hormuz, where they say Iran is making good on a promise to close down the strait. Well, I don't know about you. This is real-time GPS data from like a minute before I went live. Sure seems like the strait's got a lot of activity to me. What do you think? You think maybe that they're just actually stopping ships that are violating the rules? Or maybe the U.S. is sending ships in to violate the rules, so Iran has to stop them, so then they can point to it and say Iran's lying? These are all certainly possibilities. Or it's all made up, and the U.S. is right. I don't believe that, but it's certainly possible. But recognize how often they try to pretend like she literally just said. I mean, clearly you can see that traffic is at a standstill, right? I mean, it's obviously pumping through there. And she just said that they're making good on the promise to shut down the strait. So you have to recognize that they're trying to deceive you. Are they doing that, or are they even, let's even say that they're, that the U.S. is correct, that they're retaliating. Are they shutting down the strait, or are they just stopping specific ships? Clearly, we have that answer. They're not shutting down the strait. Even though you could argue, based on what the U.S. is doing, they might even have that right. Now, they don't control the strait. But putting them in a corner, I mean, just in the same way that you would argue the U.S. would clearly do the same thing in such in areas in Latin America, let's say. Even though it's not necessarily their area to patrol, they would do it if they were threatened and backed into a corner. I mean, all it takes is the smallest amount of research, due diligence, to see through most of their lies. They literally bank on you not having the motivation to do so. Prove them wrong. And take it upon yourself to seek out the truth. So everyone is obsessively combing through every detail of each shooting. That's what I'm seeing by and large by most people, even independent media. Combing through every detail of each shooting, even though there's plenty more than two. And yes, these shootings are sad and newsworthy, but not at the expense of everything else, which is what they're meant to do. And of course, we must consider, whatever the case, the possibility that these events are being used to further a political agenda. The ones beyond the two-party deception. Because there are many. And it's not just gun control. There's plenty of things that you can very clearly see that both parties drive for, even though they pretend to fight about things. There are plenty of them. And it really begins to show you that when you really begin to see these things, the real ruling parties materialize. And it's not the left and the right. I mean, we have the FBI using these events to gain access to your social media data. Even at a time when actions like that have never been more criticized. Facebook and Twitter, and I mean, everyone is concerned about their privacy and their data. And here the FBI steps up and says, now we need access to everything because you're in danger. The FBI is even criminalizing the ability to question the official narrative on any event, as we've previously covered, when historically speaking, it has almost always been the outsiders that break the story. Gee, I wonder why that is. It's almost as if they're constantly trying to stop us from revealing the truth. They're removing your voice in real time. So the only question is, what are you going to do about it? Something we should ask ourselves. Thank you for being here today. If you'd like to support this channel, there are plenty of ways to do so. As you can see, I'm wearing my Question Everything t-shirt today. I've got the sticker up right there. If you'd like to support the channel, there's more than just the t-shirt. There's plenty of links. You can go to PayPal, Patreon, all the things that we have if you'd like to support this channel. If you don't like any of those, you can reach out to me and I can send you my office address if you'd like to send something that way. But if you'd like to buy a t-shirt, the link is in the show notes, Truth Clothing. Question Everything t-shirt, there's a women's style, black and white. All of it goes to support this channel. We are people funded from top to bottom. This is not some Teespring thing. This is ran by other independent media. And it's all about promoting our channels. So again, if you'd like to support this channel, there's plenty of ways to do so. But the most important thing is to get the information out there as much as possible. Spread this as often as possible. Get it in front of people that might not otherwise see it. It's the most important thing we can do today. Because until we can wake enough people up, nothing we really do is going to have the effect we want. And I tell you, I say it often and I mean it. I really believe we are changing everything. And the way they're acting, the way the FBI is acting, the way leading to 2020 that everyone is acting, it could not be more clear that you scare the hell out of them. And you probably know why. So thank you for being here again, as always. I love you all. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.